While he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. The description here is given of Josiah. The record of Josiah's life and reign in the kingdom of Judah is a very encouraging record. He grew up in a time of spiritual declension, a time when idolatry and false religion had gained widespread acceptance, not only in the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes to the north, but also, sadly, in the southern kingdom of Judah. The morality of the people was corrupted. The teaching, the truth of God's word had become largely despised and ignored. But here was a young man, Josiah, who set himself to reform the nation and restore the ways and the worship of God among the people. His life is but another example of the great potential for good and for God in the life of a young person. If you look at the detail in this chapter, you'll find that there are various dates or various ages in the timeline of Josiah's life. If you look there in verse number 1, he was 8 years old when he began to reign. That's the time when his father died. He was 8 years of age, and that was a crisis. That's a very difficult circumstance. 8 years of age. And then we're told in verse number 3, when he was in the 8th year of his reign, that he began to seek after the Lord. And that makes him 16 years of age. Then in verse number 3 again, we're told that he purged the land of its idolatry in the 12th year of his reign. That puts him at 20 years of age. Come down to verse number 8 and you'll find him repairing God's house when he was 26 years of age. He died when he was 39. Not really a long life, relatively speaking. He died as a young man. But he died as one whose life was full of service for the Lord. And therefore, his record is a record of the potential for good and for God in the life of a young person. And yet, at the same time, Josiah's record reminds us also of the evil potential, the potential for evil in the life of a young person. I'm not referring so much to Josiah, but I'm referring to his father. And if you come back into the previous chapter, chapter 33, you'll find in verse 21 mention made of Josiah's father by the name of Ammon. Ammon was 2 and 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. And that indicates that he died when he was 24 years of age. And if you put the detail together, remember that Josiah was 8 years of age when his father died. That means that Ammon was 16 years of age when his son, Josiah, was born. And the remaining part of that chapter emphasizes the kind of life that Ammon lived. You look there at verse 22. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as did Manasseh, his father, for Ammon sacrificed unto all the carved images which Manasseh his father had made and served them, and humbled not himself Here is a young man whose life will be cut short. 24 years of age, that's all he will live upon this earth. And as a young man, he's setting out on the wrong path. He humbled not himself before the Lord. Verse 23, the latter part of that verse says, but Ammon trespassed more and more. He is heaping sin upon sin. He is adding iniquity to iniquity. As a young man who will not live beyond 24 years of age. At 16, he becomes a father. And for the remaining part of his life, the remaining time of his life, the description that is recorded is one of evil, one of wickedness, one of straying from the Lord. And so when I look at the family of Josiah, I find on the one hand, I find the potential for good and for God, and yet on the other, I see the potential for evil, for wickedness, for sin, for Satan in the life of a young person. And it raises the question tonight, what is it that makes the difference? What is it that makes the difference between the potential for good and God, a life lived to the glory of God and the benefit of man? What is it that makes the difference between that and a life that is lived for self and sin and Satan? What is it that makes the difference? The difference is made because of what we find in verse 3. While he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. That's what made the difference in Josiah's life, in contrast to the life of his father. He began to seek the Lord when he was 16 years of age. He became a God-centered teenager. And remember this, his background, his family atmosphere, his family environment was by no means an incentive or an encouragement to live for the Lord. But at 16 years of age, while he was yet young, he began to seek the Lord. And I want just for a few moments tonight to consider this action that he pursued when he was 16 years of age. Could I say before I go any further, young people tonight, is there someone 16 years of age? What are you beginning to do at 16 years of age? While he was yet young, a teenager, he began to seek the Lord. What was he doing? Well, let me suggest in the first place, he was obeying the precept of God's word. The Bible tells us that we're to seek after the Lord, and many times that command, that instruction is given. I'm thinking of Psalm 105, verse 4, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. Isaiah 55 and verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he's near. Hosea 10:12, it is time to seek the Lord. Psalm 27 and verse 8, when thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. It is a command. It's a command that emphasizes the priority that the Lord sets before us. To seek the Lord, it simply means to put the Lord first. The Lord must be first. He is to be the object of our desire, the object of our affection, the object of our will, We are to seek after him. We are to search for him. We are to put the Lord first. And here was this young man whose family background, whose family atmosphere and environment was anything but an encouragement to seek the Lord. And at 16 years of age, he begins to obey the precept of God's word. Do you remember the Lord Jesus when he was teaching the people on the mount? It's referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. And he said to the assembled multitude, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you." I'm sure Mr. Martin feels like I do. I'm sure we wish we were 16 again. That's a long time ago for him. It's not that long for me. But Thomas was giving his testimony today in Clock Mills, and I have heard him give his testimony many times, and I always enjoy it, and it's always a blessing. But I was thinking, and I was doing some comparisons, and I asked him there on the way in, he was saying about being in prison, being in jail, and I said, "Tom, when did you get out of prison?" And he said it was 1988. And in 1988, I was only 3 years of age. No, sorry. I was 17. 17 years of age. And I was thinking back. I was just starting out, as it were, in life. And Tom was coming out of that experience in prison. I've never had that experience. But I was thinking, if I was able to turn the clock back, and I'm sure Mr. Martin would feel the same way, if we were able to turn the clock back and begin again at 16. Oh, to have that opportunity. I'm glad at 16 years of age, I was seeking the Lord. That's when I started to preach. Started to preach in the open air. Started giving out gospel tracts. And if I could turn the clock back, I would do it again. And I would say to every young person here tonight, perhaps a 16-year-old, what's first in your life? What is first? The Lord says, "Seek ye first." And Josiah, while he was yet young, at 16 years of age, began to obey this precept, to seek the Lord and put him first. But not only was he obeying a precept, he was entering upon a course of action whereby he would obtain a tremendous promise. A tremendous promise. You see, this command to seek the Lord is laden with many precious promises. If you turn back to 1 Chronicles chapter 28, 1 Chronicles chapter 28, and the verse number 9, David is speaking to his son Solomon, and he says, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imagination of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee." What a promise. I don't want a second-hand religion. And by that I mean, I don't want to rest on what someone else has experienced of God. I want to experience God for myself. And the promise of God's word is this. God's covenant promise is this. If you seek him, he will be found of thee. He will not hide from you. That's what it means. And you will find him, and you will know him for yourself, and you will have your own experience of God. This is the promise of God's word. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah ministered during the last 18 years of the reign of Josiah. Jeremiah was a young man when he started to serve the Lord. When the call of God came to him, he felt his inadequacy. He said, "Lord, I'm a child. I can't speak, Lord. You're sending me to do this, and I'm not fitted for this. I'm not able for this. I'm only a child. I'm only a young person." And the Lord said, "That doesn't matter." The Lord said, "It doesn't matter." Maybe there's among the young people tonight somebody feeling that sense of inadequacy. You know, I couldn't do this. I couldn't serve the Lord in any particular capacity. The Lord said, "Say not, I am a child. Thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Fear not, for I am with thee." Jeremiah sought the Lord, and Josiah sought the Lord, and in the 13th verse of this chapter, God gives the promise, "Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord." Your own experience of God. That's the promise. The experience of God in your life. This is God's promise. Do you believe it? Turn over to Psalm 34. Turn back to Psalm 34 in verse number 10. I said this is a command that's laden down with many promises. And we could spend quite some time tonight going through the Bible and looking at the promises that are attached to this precept. But let's look at this one. Psalm 34 and verse 10. "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." The Lord says, if you seek me, I will be found of you. I will not hide myself from you. You will find me. "And they that seek the Lord shall not want or lack any good thing." But hold on a minute, I have my career to think about, and I've got to get my education. I want to advance in the world. Listen, if you seek the Lord first, you will not lack any good thing. You will not lack any good thing. That's the promise of God. In finding the Lord, you will find every need in life and every need in death and every need for eternity. You will find every need abundantly and sufficiently supplied. Not a doubt about it. That's the promise of God. While he was yet young, he began to seek the Lord. He began to obey the precept. And he also began to obtain that tremendous promise that God has attached to the command. And if you seek the Lord tonight, young person, and put him first, you will find him. And you will not lack any good thing. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added." The Lord will meet your need. The Lord will guide your path. If you follow his will, do his will, the Lord will guide your path. The Lord will undertake in every circumstance. He's not saying the path will not be without its difficulties or its sorrows. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. That's what the Bible teaches. But as we go through life and as we meet all the circumstances of life and all the ups and downs, the twists and turns, when you have the Lord with you, you will not lack any good thing. So he was obeying a precept and he was obtaining a promise. But he was also originating a practice. Because the Bible tells us in this verse that he began to seek after the God of David, his father. This was only the beginning. It highlights the time of his conversion. Isn't it interesting how it's written here? He began to seek after the God of David, his father, and David had lived hundreds of years before. And God was the God of David. But up until that point in his life, he was not the God of Josiah. Josiah could not rest on the experience that his ancestors or his relatives had of God. He must come to that place where he himself has his own personal experience and relationship with God by grace alone. And so this is the point of his conversion. This is the time when he seeks the Lord for salvation. It is the time of his conversion, but from this time onwards, he's setting in place a practice, a habit that will be maintained throughout his life. If you come down the chapter to verse 21, he gives the instruction, "Go inquire of the Lord for me." There he is in later days, in later life, and he's seeking the Lord. He's seeking wisdom and guidance and counsel from the Lord. He began when he was 16, and from that point onwards, he set in place a practice, a habit of seeking the Lord. And it is so vital. As a young Christian, as a young believer, it is so vital to develop that practice, seeking God. And that means you've got to come aside from other things, things that you enjoy, things that are legitimate. You've got to set them to the side and take time to meet the Lord. Take time to meet with God in the place of prayer. This was a habit that Josiah formed. I was telling Tom, we were coming back in the car, and I was saying to him about those days. I started preaching when I was 16, and I was captivated by the preaching of Dr. Paisley. I lived in Carnmoney. I had no transport. I walked from Carnmoney to Ravenhill Road just to hear him preach and walk back again. And then when I got going a few times, some of the people there took pity on me and they gave me a lift. And the interesting thing is, the fellow that gave me a lift, Friday night he was ordained as an elder in my church in Ballyclare. The very same man that gave me a lift all those years ago. But I was telling Tom, I can remember back as a teenager going to prayer meetings on a Friday night, late night prayer meetings. And I can tell you this, I have never laughed as much as I did in those prayer meetings. Just not a great number of men, but what times of prayer. And I learned to pray. And I told Tom there was one time we were having a gospel mission and Dr. Paisley got the men out of the wee vestry room and he said, "Right, men, we're going to go round every pew in this building." Now, there was maybe about 12 of us, and you know how many pews are in the Martyrs Memorial Church. That was about 12 o'clock. We weren't finished about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. We had to go round every pew, and each man sat on a pew. And we had to pray over every pew that the Lord would bring people in and save them by the power of the gospel. And when we had got that all done, we prayed over every pew. Each man sitting would pray one, and then the next man would pray, and the next, and then you'd get up and move to another pew. You'd pray over it again. And then when that was done, he said, right, I want you to line up in single file, and we're going to march up and down the aisles of this church. This is 3 o'clock in the morning. And he says, we're going to sing. And we're going to sing that hymn, Hold the Fort, for I am coming. So here we are, about a dozen men, and we're marching up the aisles of the martyrs and walking round, and we're singing this. And Dr. Paisley was leading at the front. And when we came to the last verse, you know that verse, see the mighty host advancing, Satan leading on. Before we got to that, he stopped and he said, right, men, he's leading the way. He says, about turn. And everybody turned so that he was now at the back of the queue. He wasn't leading the force, leading the charge. I can remember as a teenager things like that. And those meetings taught me as a teenager not only the necessity of seeking after the Lord, but taught me how to seek the Lord. And it has stood me in very good stead through the different twists and turns of life and the ups and downs, the joys and the sorrows, the encouragements and the discouragements. Josiah began to seek the Lord. And young people, I would encourage you, while you're yet young, and what a precious time of life it is for you. You know the difference between you and me and Mr. Martin? You see, when you get to our age, you start talking about the past. You build up a past, and you start talking about the past. That's what we were doing today. We were reminiscing and talking about different things. We started college. I started first and then went to Australia. And by the time I got back, Tom was in and we finished college together. And we can go right down years. I mean, if we started tonight, we would be here to midnight. Talking about times when he came across the Gardenstown. I remember the time he came and we went out shooting at night, shooting deer. And the farmer had just put slurry all over the field. And the tractor was covered, but we didn't tell this to Tom. And we said, Tom, you can get up through the roof and you can lean out there with the spotlight. And he got up, but the top of the tractor was covered. And when he came back afterwards and he realized his coat just wasn't too good a smell. The things, we have a past. Your life is all future. As young people. And with that untrodden future in front of you, begin to seek the Lord and develop the habit, develop the practice of seeking first the Lord, seeking His will for your life, seeking the way that He wants you to go. And if you develop that practice, you will never regret it. It will stand by you all the days of your life, and it will be a habit and a practice that will benefit and enrich your soul beyond all comprehension. Remember this great statement concerning Josiah. While he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. And the God who was the God of David became the God of Josiah. And the very same God has promised to be your God. That's the very apex of the covenant of grace, the gospel. The Lord says, I will be your God. You shall be my people. And if God is your God, that's all you need. That's everything you need. You will lack nothing. While he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. Have you begun tonight? Have you begun to seek the Lord for yourself? I mean really to seek the Lord. Asking the Lord to reveal himself to you, to your heart through his word. Having that personal relationship and fellowship with him through Jesus Christ, his son. Have you begun to seek the Lord? May these words be true of the life of every young person in this meeting tonight. Amen.